Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. Welcome to another episode of Smart Finance 360. I'm really excited today because we got a great guest, Michael Boswell. He's a stud real estate agent here in Utah. We're going to talk about a subject here, basically, what if rates do dip? What if, you know, right this week the Fed's going to be talking, and they're going to talk about maybe they'll drop drop the rates. I'm not sure. Maybe they're going to wait till September. But let's say if they do this, and it goes, let's say, half a percentage point or one whole percentage point, what's going to happen? So great episode. This is going to be good. We're going to dive in. Thanks, dude.
Dude, thanks for having me. I'm stoked. I'm excited for this.
Good. So tell me a little bit about what got you in the real estate industry to begin with, because that's always my favorite thing, because you never plan on it.
No, as I say, it was by accident. Like 100% that was by accident. So my stepdad has been in real estate for 30 years, and I was trying to start a clothing company at the time with my brother, and he's like, he worked at Coldwell at the time, and he's like, hey, do you guys want to come in? We're going to do free headshots. And at that time, I was trying to get started on LinkedIn. I'm like, well, I need a free headshot. So I went in there, and I don't remember the lady's name, sadly, but dude, she was, I believe, 65, she said. And I've never seen someone so happy talking about what they do. Like, work and love in the same sentence was not a thing. Like, for me, I'm like, you don't love your job. Like, that's BS. But dude, she was so happy. And it just kind of, something clicked. I'm like, I think I could do this. Like, I love people. So I signed up for real estate school. Nothing really happened. And then when COVID hit, got furloughed from my job. And then I just went all in. And then it's 4 years now and haven't looked back.
That's amazing. I mean, I love a lot of people. I always tell people the stories of becoming a loan officer, a real estate agent, or even title. And no one ever grows up. And they're like, I want to do that. Like, nobody. Like, I thought it was, I was just going to be a teller or something. I had no idea what it is. And then the difference I've seen is people that go all in.
Yeah.
And just, you know, there's no other side jobs. You know, the industry right now, the thing I love about being a loan officer, or I think real estate agents should love too, is I'm just competing against soccer moms, dude. I'm just competing against people that aren't really all in on it. They're part-timers. And so you have real good opportunity to have success in this domain because you are competing with, and nothing against a soccer mom. It's a great side job. I have people that, you know, work with me that only do a part-time, do a great job. But for me as a professional, to really put my head down and dominate, I saw this is a wide open field.
Yep. I do think there's a huge difference between a part-time and a full-time, but also to credit, like, I think that's a beautiful thing about real estate is it allows that option for part-time for people to do that, to still generate income, help their friends, but be that full-time mom because, you know, that's a job in itself. But I think for me, just being full-time, there is an advantage. I see things, it changes daily. Seriously, the market, like in 2021, you know, when multiple offers, it changed daily. When 2022 hit, interest rates daily. You have to be involved to know, and then especially how to negotiate a winning offer for your clients and how to strategize your listings.
100%. I mean, and a lot of times people will say, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. Well, I had an agent a couple weeks ago. I believe she's been doing it. She's mentioned she's been doing it for 20 years. She didn't know what to react to on an FHA loan. She didn't know how to get addendum. She's like, how does appraisal work? She didn't even know. She's like, it's been a long time since I've seen an FHA loan. And I, you know, you look up the data and you're like, oh, well, you only do one transaction a year. So it's like, well, at-bats are way more important in this industry than, you know, how long you've been doing it. And so that's huge. But right now, let's talk about that. So 2021, flashback, rates are absurd. How many offers were per house you saw?
Depending on the house, dude. Man, the low price points for, you know, for, I think from 300 to 550. I remember one house had 18 offers, you know, and then you went up. We went up. I had another buyer 550 to 850, 15 offers, going 50 to 100K over cash, waiving appraisals. And, dude, I actually saw earlier this year, I had a first time home buyer. We were just looking in West Jordan, 450. We lost because they went non-refundable earnest, 20 grand above. And I'm like, what? Like this, you know, brought back.
Flashback.
Literally, what is going on? But, dude, it was absurd. I mean, but that's just how it was then. Even right now, though, with investors, because I've kind of pivoted, because a lot of, which I know we'll get into, a lot of first-time home buyers, I think the number one thing is that they don't think they can afford something, which they can.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just don't get in the market. So I've kind of pivoted to work with a lot of investors, and I just was up against 11 offers. Got it. But 11 on that. I've had another one where they had 15 offers. You know, that price point was about $350 though. So
yeah, I mean, it depends on the price range, but, you know, flashback to 2021 to 2022, there was just so many offers at the time. And that's why the Fed right now is trying to fight so much inflation, because let's talk about this in this episode, that what happens if rates dip by 1%, you know, and by 1%, I mean, right now, roughly rates are in the high to mid sixes. Let's say it goes to the high to mid five. So first and foremost, there's so many people sitting on the sidelines waiting for that right now. So do you think if that happens, it will have kind of a same similar effect to 2021? Or what do you think will happen? You think it'll be bloodbath? What's your thoughts?
Dude, well, I love that, because I hear that all the time, especially with my demographic, is a lot of first-time home buyers. And I'm like, you're not the only one with this mindset, right? Let me wait for rates to drop. How many other people are thinking like you, right? And I don't think it's wrong thinking, right? There's a lot of validity to it, but it's, let's look at the numbers. Every time a rate drops, how many more buyers get entered into that now? How many more people that are pre-approved can afford more?
Yes.
So there's way more competition. I actually saw something this morning where even with rates trending down, there hasn't been a huge increase in sales, but I don't think it's trickled down enough yet. I think what happened in 2021 set a lot of unrealistic expectations about what rates are.
Yes.
You know, but then you have our grandparents, our uncles. Well, when I built my house, it was 17%. But let's look at the numbers, right? And I know you're a numbers guy. The income was different.
Yeah.
How much a home costs. So it's, you can't really.
I'll buy a house for 50 grand. 5%.
100%.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll buy 10, right? You know, and so it's, you can talk about it, but I don't think you can compare it to today's market. It's a lot different. But in Utah, as we look at our economy, we have one of the best economies, right? In the country. Income is actually really well compared to across the country as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think when rates come down, because I don't think it's if, because I think we are already past that point. It's now when they do.
Yeah.
It will go up. I think people are going to go 25, 30K above list. I don't think, and maybe this is just my hope, it doesn't go as bad as 2021, but I still do think it is going to be highly competitive. Right now, it's a buyer's market, truly. I mean, even though I'm still running in multiple offers, done escalation clauses, it is still, we have way more inventory.
Yes.
It is up significantly from last year at this time. But I do think when there's a decrease in rates, it's going to increase the buyer pool and get really competitive.
Yeah, I like how you said that. On the sideline, there's two types of people. There are ones that are just, that can be approved already, but they're waiting anyway. And then there's ones that literally have to wait because once the rates dip, they now can be pre-qualified. And so that said, you know, a lot of real estate agents hate this date the rate, marry the house.
I was one of them.
They hate it so much. But hindsight, I think the people that did that, I think they won and won by a large margin because they were able to get closing costs covered. They probably got the house cheaper than it would have been in the future. 100%. And they actually got the house they wanted because 2021 was hard because they didn't get necessarily the house that they wanted. I had people that it was probably their sixth or seventh offer and they were starting to get, you know, really frustrated. Like, fine, I'll settle. I'll get the house.
Yep. Well, or dude, at that time, homes would list that day. You were buying it that day. You were putting in an offer that day. You didn't have the opportunity to come back even tomorrow because the sellers, the amount of agents that I talked to is like the sellers extremely overwhelmed. We're picking an offer tonight.
Yeah.
That happened 9 times out of 10. Where I hated that saying, but I agree with you 100%. If you could have afforded a home at that time that was like perfect for you, you won. You got an amazing deal because homes were sitting longer. You can negotiate way better concessions. And now when rates come down, dude, your home's going to appreciate for more. It's a great opportunity, but not everybody had that luxury. But if you did, I 100% agree. But hindsight, I think now I hated that saying. Right, date the rate, marry the house. But I do think moving forward, that is something to consider. Because if you can qualify for something now before rates do and more people get entered into your buyer pool, right, you can still win and get a great home.
Yeah, I think right now is great because you're only really competing against one or two offers. And when there's only one or two offers that you're competing with, you have the ability to negotiate so much more. I'm seeing people negotiate all their closing costs plus a new roof.
Yeah.
You know, they're willing to do that. Whereas in 2021, yeah, good luck. Not happening.
Nope.
It's not happening. So, I mean, if rates come in lower, and one thing you mentioned that I also hated about 2021 is the unrealistic expectation of rates. Having rates in the twos
should have never gone that low.
That's,
you know that.
Just the way things, the trajectory of way things were going, you know, rates were supposed to probably be in the high fours,
yeah,
you know, which lower
is healthy,
fives,
which
is healthy. So if it gets back to mid fives, that's phenomenal. That's where it needs to be. But the people with this, well, I just want it to get lower. I'm sorry, but if anything happens, if rates get into the threes, then we're either in a world war or it's just something that we don't want to happen. We don't want another pandemic. We don't want these things to happen, because if that's the only reason, that'd be in the threes.
Correct.
At that point. And I think they've learned, seeing that when rates were that low and the frenzy in the market and how crazy that was, it was just, yeah, it was great at the time because, you know, real estate agents and loan officers and title people were so super busy, and probably, you know, the best time people had in numbers historically. But, it, you know, looking, you know, flash forward now, it's been a rough 3-4 years of just with people's psyche, just the way that they react to the market, to payments. People are super finicky about things because they're like, well, my payment should be $1,500. I'm like, that's just not reality. That's not how it is. When I bought my first house in 2018, my payment was like $2,400. Yeah. That's just what it was. And, you know, if rates come back down to 5.5, yeah, they'll probably be around $2,800, $2,700 on majority, depending on the purchase price. And I'm just talking median. That's a pretty healthy.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. What do you think in the meantime, real estate agents, or what are you doing specifically during this time with, you know, the higher rates, maybe lower inventory? What advice do you have for agents that may be listening to this to help be prepared for something? Because if that does happen, rates dip, I don't think it'll be that drastic, but I do think buckle up.
Yeah. I think, man, that's a great question. You know, one thing is to just to be consistent with your SOI, your people, and prep them. Have those conversations, especially with August 17th coming around, right? The whole real estate commission's changing everything. I'm already having these conversations with people that aren't even pre-approved yet. People that are looking to buy or have brought up to me, I'm having that conversation with the commission, everything there in advance. Sellers, talking to them. I've really pivoted a lot just to investors, right? Luckily for me, I do have a big investor pool, which has really saved me the past couple of years because just a lot of my friends can afford. You know, so I'd say expand your market knowledge, work with, it doesn't hurt to have investors, first-time home buyers, the move-up buyers, right? This, you know, how to get that, though, is share your knowledge, share your worth. Don't be afraid to ask and talk to people. And I say that, but I still struggle with that.
Yeah, getting yourself out there is huge as well. You know, trying to provide value online is really important. Like, the only thing I post online is something that I'm trying to provide value information to others without any expectation of anyone either DMing me or getting a lead. I don't really care about that. I just am like, if I'm going to be doing this, might as well do it the way I'd like to do it.
Yeah.
And I like to, you know, teach. And, you know, I may not be have the most funny stuff. Sometimes I do memes every once in a while, but no, really, I'm here to educate of what's going on. Now, you said about August 17th. What's kind of the change or someone that may be listening right now in the real estate market for consumers? Like, don't answer for agents, but for consumers, what's the change on this?
On a very simplified version of it, it's now listings don't have to offer a, I hate the buyer broker compensation. I like buyer agent compensation. I guess I'm old school now.
Yeah.
they don't have to offer a buyer's commission anymore, basically is what it is. And on the MLS, it's not going to be listed on there. So now on, I believe it's private websites, they'll still have it.
Yeah.
Which, dude, if I was huge in IT, I would build basically a sub MLS, something like that now, and just list it on there.
And they could do that.
Now, am I going to have to go to individual websites?
Yeah.
Right. There's still a lot of unknown within that aspect, but I'm actually really excited for it because I do think the real estate industry was due for a change, not in the way that it came about. Because I don't agree with the whole ruling because I think out of this whole thing, lawyers win a lot of it because now people are going to sell it, get into legal trouble, and lawyers charge fixed rates for theirs. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of exactly when you win a case, you make the other person pay for it. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of legal fees.
Yes.
So in reality, though, does it really affect the buyers, or is it just you have to make an extra phone call now to get that negotiation from?
Dude, I think it's really going to depend.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of uncertainty in the air. One thing I'm doing is already talking to my sellers about the, like, hey, you want to set yourself apart? Yeah. Let's offer it. Let's offer it to people because if no one else is, let's offer it to that, to set, stand out. That's what the whole thing with real estate is. It's standing out. How do we make our house sell more? What do we do? to stand out against the competition, right? In sports, what do? You put in more work, right? You work harder, you do these things. Well, let's offer this for them too. And so I think it's really interesting. I don't agree with it personally, just because with coming from the background of working with a lot of first-time homebuyers, a lot of them are stretching to afford something, which that's the goal. And then now on top, let me throw my commission, because I've seen people where let's put in the purchase price.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now my buyer's payment showed up $50,000 or $50 a month. Mm-hmm. Can they still afford that? And like some just, and for me, it just doesn't feel right. I understand both sides, right? But I think where people are already struggling to afford it, now on top, you know, if it's a $400,000 home, here, pay me $12,000, you know.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be more dual-sided transactions where the listing agent is on provides, represents both?
Yes. I could 100% see that happening.
You think so?
I do.
I think that's so bad for the buyers, because at that point, who really has the fiduciary obligation to the client, to the seller?
Yeah.
It's that agent, yeah. The seller agent, because that's the one who's paying them. I find it, even right now, at times where I have seen dual-sided, it's tough, because it puts them in a pickle, puts them in a bind, because, you know, that bind that they're in is like, well, who do I represent at all times? It makes it like almost like unethical, really. It's tough. I don't know what's, you know.
There's a fine line you have to do, because I've done that before, you know, but it worked out great in the situation where it was a first-time home buyer and my seller, like, we made it work. He got more, profited more.
Yeah.
My buyer got a great deal, didn't have to go against multiple offers, and got concessions even. Like,
you know what would be wild is if rates really do dip by like a whole percentage point by that time. So you have all this change on the real estate side, and then you have all these people waiting on the sidelines. Floodgates are open. It could be a potential chaos.
Yeah, I without a doubt, because it's now, oh, well, this person's not making the agent make them pay a commission.
Yeah.
We're going to go with their offer. You're going to have to get creative.
Yeah.
I do think there's going to be a curve, though, eventually. But it's going to be the unknown, I think, for maybe 6 months of just figuring it out. It's going to resolve itself, though.
Yeah, I think the professionals that are actually in it will, you know, lead the way.
Adapt.
Yeah, they're going to adapt, but they're also going to lead the way and say, this makes sense, this is ethical, this is the right thing to do, and they'll stand together, and then they'll just, you know, yep, they'll get to a good point where they can get to a rhythm. And the people that aren't through the loop, you know, the part-timers, the soccer moms, soccer dads, like, that only do this part-time, they don't really know, and they're not on top of what's going on. They're the ones that are really going to hurt in this, and I think that's good. I think it's good for consumers that they're going to get better professionals,
yeah,
when the rates dip. Now, right now, what's good about, I say, the pros of not having to wait is what's called the temporary 2-1 buy-down. So this is pretty phenomenal. So how this works is, let's say rates are at 6.5%. Well, if you do the 2-1 buy-down, which the sellers are willing to pay for, they pay for it, through a seller credit, that means your first year, so let's say you got 5.5, that means your first year you can get 3.5, your second year 4.5, and then years 3 for 30, you're back. Yep. And it's a subsidy too. So what's cool about the subsidy is that they get that money back if they were to refinance. So let's say rates do get better. Well, guess what? You have this whole subsidy that's yours, and how that works is you get it back called a principal reduction. So if your loan amount's 360 and you have 10 grand left, you refinance, your loan amount we'll get to 350 at that point. Obviously, there's going to be other closing costs involved, but it still will reduce whatever that loan amount by 10 grand via what's called a principal reduction. So it's kind of a no-brainer if you can get that right now.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say, hey, guys, date the rate, but do it with a temporary 2-1 buy-down, because now you can get the house you want. You probably get a better purchase price than you would with, you know, more offers, because more offers, if there's 10 offers, I promise you, it's just basic math. If there's more offers, the price will be higher for the house, because if I see, hey, there's 10 offers and I really want this house and I'm buying it and I'm putting myself in their shoes and I really want the house, I'll probably call and say, yeah, I'll buy this for 20 grand more. I want it. I don't want the hassle of buying another house.
Yep.
I just want it. So right now, though, when I only have one or two offers, it's a great time to buy, because you get that temporary 2-1 buy down.
Without a doubt.
And I feel that when rates do dip by 1% or whatever, if they do, I don't think the sellers are going to be like, nah, I'm not going to give you the 2-1 temporary buy down credit, because there's 10 more offers on here. So I think they're going to lose that opportunity to get that. And I think it'll be, you know, not necessarily a bloodbath, but I do see a lot of people probably saying, man, I shouldn't have waited.
I think one thing I've noticed, let's say I have four active buyers where people tell me they want to buy. Okay, maybe three of them get pre-approved. One of them serious.
Yep.
The other three or two, whatever it was, are going to say, you know, 6 months from now, I wish I would have bought when I could. Because the hard part is, too, is as it goes down, right, rates go down, what you can afford is more. But the problem is, when people keep paying over that price, appreciation happens. Equity, right? People get more. The home you wanted, which 6 months ago maybe was $450, and now it's $515. And it just happens. That's part of the game. You know, one thing you've understood is like, or understanding, you can't change people's minds, right? I can just provide as much information. And that's what I try to do with anything. Let me just lay out all the information, help you. I mean, it's my job, right, to help you understand it all. But what you do at the end of the day is up to you. I can just say, hey, I laid everything out here.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing is, you know, a lot of people, it's crazy. They don't talk about the temporary 2-1 buy down or the 1-1 buy down or the 1-0 buy down.
I had someone that did a 3-2-1 buy down.
3-2-1 buy down. Yes, there are ones. So, I mean, there's so many things available that people could talk about right now compared to what's going to happen if rates dip. But the facts are, is there's people waiting on the sidelines, not because they're just waiting. It's because they can't. They can't afford it. And when they can't afford it, they're going to be very anxious because people don't want to rent. People don't want to do that.
See, and I'll even challenge that a little bit too, because it's not that I don't think. And you're right. In some circumstances, some people really can't. Yeah. Debt, credit. Yeah. There's a lot of things that affect this, right? But I think majority of consumers just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our job to say, hey, because now with the soft pull, everything that you guys do, it's like, hey, this is a great option. And then we can at least get a guide, a game plan to get you there in the future. But I think a lot of people would be surprised, but it's the sticker shock. It's the payment.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. And I guess my advice to, you know, I know there's a lot of phenomenal agents out there though, but it's, hey, what are you comfortable paying? That's where I start with in my buyer consultations. And they're like, oh, $1,500. I'm like, okay, we're not being realistic here. You know,
here's where the payments are.
Correct. You know, and if you're not comfortable with that, let's rent, but let's get a game plan just so you know with rates where they are. And then what I do is set them up on a drip campaign or have my LO do that and say, hey, rates are coming down here. This is the new payment. Yeah. And if they're happy with that, great. Then we start that conversation. I wanted to say something though, because you hit on it perfect with the concessions. I don't think a lot of consumers know that builders used to not offer concessions. When rates were that low, it was crazy. They're not willing to do that because why? Inventory's moving, yep. Right? They have product selling over list. Dude, like for my example, we got in there with, we built with Edge Homes and Harriman, and we were under contract. Everything said on $550 on a townhome. When we closed at $460.
Wow.
We got really lucky on that, yeah. Right? But it's because we were active in it. But when we went under contract, dude, we were in a 3-unit one. Mm-hmm. There was 36 offers among 3 units. We paid so much over, but then it's like you can't time the market.
No.
Right? You got in. Luckily, it worked out for us to be able to make it happen. But dude, like we were against 36 offers. We had a list. We went, I think, 50K above, got it. And then luckily we were able to negotiate the way we did. But I couldn't ask for much at the beginning. Dude, they've got 35 other offers. You want to back out on that? Great. They don't care. So I do think, you know, if you are able to take advantage of the concessions, use it towards your advantage, get the 2-1 buy down, 3-2-1, pay your closing costs, do all these things. At least explore that, and what does that look like?
Yeah, exactly. And you think if rates do dip by, you know, a whole percent, you think builders will take away that?
I don't think they'll take it away fully yet, but I think they're going to start changing what they do. Yeah. You see builders right now offering 5.99 on select inventory, 4.9, 5.49, which typically they put that in the purchase price, so you're paying more. I think they're going to get rid of a lot of that inventory because people can afford more now. So I don't know. I'm not a builder, right?
Yeah.
But
no, this is my prediction. This is just
what this is just my perspective on what it is. So
what do you think people's psychology on how they're going to react when rates are lower? Do you think they'll be kind of ready finally as far as like, okay, I can handle this payment compared to what they were have seen the last few years? Or do you still think there's more of like a bite the bullet type, you know?
I think both, man. I do think there's going to be both. It depends on the consumer, the person. I work with a lot of people that are like, yep, I understand. This is just what it is. I know real estate long term is going to play out. And I also have people, oh, dude, there's no way. I don't, you know, they don't understand it as much. But I do think when rates do, it'll reduce the sticker shock for a lot of people. And I think they're going to get ready. But I think there's still going to be that shock of the payment.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. So I don't know, to be honest. I think it's going to be mixed. But I do think a lot more people are going to be intrigued into looking into buying.
It's a good time right now to prepare, to make sure that you're perfecting your game plan. You're already preparing your presentation to talk about the commission setup, how it works, educating. I think right now is a good time to game plan. We are overstaffing on operations. We're prepping so that when it does happen, we're ready. Because a lot of people aren't going to be ready. We've noticed this cyclical thing.
Yes.
You know, you look at all the historic events, and it's just funny how human nature is. People aren't ready for it. We are going to be ready for this. And so that's why we're like, we're going to get ahead of this. Because when it does happen, we'll make sure we can scale it.
Yep.
We've got our process in place. So, you know, my feedback for a lot of professionals right now is like, be ready for it. You know, fine tune everything you want to fine tune right now and really get in a groove, because once it happens and you're not prepared for it,
you're going to wish you were.
And you're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, your clients deserve to have people that are ready. So, any last things, Mike, on this you want to talk about?
Dude, I actually had a question for you with the commission thing. I don't know. And I'm thinking spitballing here. I don't think this is good or bad, one or the other. I'm just actually curious for you. Do you think there's going to be any products in the future, loan products, that maybe take that in consideration or have stuff there for the buyer? Do you see anything like that?
I think they'll analyze and they'll take a look at a lot of data. And if they see that it starts hurting first-time homebuyers, they'll figure out a way to take care of first-time homebuyers. I really do. I think they'll figure it out, because in reality, that's the main goal. The main goal, depending on this election, depending on, you know, whoever's trying to, you know, whoever's going to win, I think one of their goals is going to be how to help first-time homebuyers. And it's going to be a huge push with this commission lawsuit thing. I think they'll look at some data. They'll look at a lot of loans. They'll look at a lot of issues of, you know, if it hurts first-time homebuyers, they'll pivot. I think they'll figure it out. Yeah, I think that's a great question.
Yeah, I've been curious, because one thing I've noticed, there's a lot of people, and agents even, luckily, I mean, you know, my business partner, Jeff, dude, he is a numbers guy. Understand what people don't understand with the listing agreement too. When you signed that, you were going to pay my listing company 6%.
Yeah.
I didn't have to give any of that to the agent. I never did.
Yep.
The buyer's agent, you were going to pay my company. What I decided to offer, though, what we were going to market to the buyer, right?
Yep.
Just to put out there. But you were never paying the buyers. You were paying my company. It's just what I decided to offer.
Yep.
So I'd be curious just to see, because I know there's a lot of, I think, misinformation out there as well about it, about the commission thing. But I also think it'd just be... my number one concern is first-time home buyers, just because that's my demographic.
Yep.
That's people I work with, right? But it's, how do we get more people in the market?
Yep.
How do we keep it strong, healthy, get them that American dream, right? To move up, to get to that, I always just say the white picket fence home, because that's what, you know, everybody wants on TikTok, whatever, right? But I just be curious to see if there's anything to help first-time home buyers with, you know, I did see at one point, too, they proposed a 40-year loan.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that.
I don't like that. The 10 more years of interest. I mean, I'm not the biggest.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I know they'll pivot, but we'll have to talk about more about that on a different podcast. But dude, thanks for being on, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
This is great. How can we get a hold of you?
Just Instagram. You can call me. No, I'm just kidding. My Instagram, Facebook. I'm really active on my socials, kind of like you, providing the most value that I can, or what I think's valuable, because I'm going to post what I want. I try to put myself in the shoes of the consumer and with the questions and post on there. So social media, Instagram, Facebook, just Michael Boswell.
Perfect, man.